Hello, everyone, and welcome to Teach Me, Teacher Podcast for Educators, where we, the teachers, become students ourselves. I'm your host, Jacob Chastain, and today it is my pleasure to bring you Josie Binsko, also known as Maniacs in the Middle on Instagram, and we are here to talk all about how to use and create experiences in the classroom to foster that much-needed student engagement on a whole nother level. Alrighty, Josie, how are we doing today?
I'm good. I'm super excited.
Yes, I am pumped to have you on. You are like my first, you're the first actual teacher that I was told to stalk on Instagram.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah, they were, you know, we were, my coworkers here, they were like, oh, you got to get on Instagram. You got to get on Instagram. Okay, all right, tell me who to follow. And they were like, Maniacs in the Middle, start there. And I went and was watching, and you are doing some of the coolest and most engaging stuff in your room from what I've seen. So it's awesome to watch you work.
Thank you. That's such a compliment. Thank you.
Now, I have to ask, before we get into anything, okay, mm-hmm. So you, and this isn't really the subject of the podcast, so I'm going to throw it right in the middle, is you,
okay.
You teach English and science, correct?
I do, yes.
How did these get combined at your school?
So we have 3 sixth grade teams at our school, and mine is the smallest. So there are 3 core teachers on our team. Mm-hmm. So I teach 3 sections of science, 1 section of language arts, and 1 section of lit and comp. So I have the most on my team. Everyone else only has 2 subjects, but they're like, you're the young, you're the newbie. Here you go. You get all 3.
That's hilarious. So, okay, let's, I just wanted to ask that question. I was just really
curious. No, you're good.
Because usually it's English and history and math and science.
I know, it's very strange.
Now, let's a little bit about you real quick. So let's backtrack. Go ahead, for anyone who doesn't know who you are, who doesn't follow you on Instagram, what's kind of your elevator pitch for yourself? What would you tell someone if you were going to introduce them to kind of your work and where you're at?
Okay, so I would say I'm a middle school teacher. 6th grade. It's the best grade. This is my 3rd year teaching. I teach science, language arts, and lit and comp, but science is my main subject. I'm the softball coach and STEM club sponsor, and that's me. That's what I got.
STEM club and softball.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No time, no life.
You know what? Are you one of the people who get, like, you get energized when you get more things around you like that?
I am. I am so bad. When we have breaks, I go from being 110% on doing, having a million one things to do, to on the weekends when we have breaks, I do absolutely nothing. There's no in between for me. It's terrible. I need to find a balance. But when I have a very busy schedule, that's when I'm most likely to get everything done.
Yeah, you know, I've talked about it a lot on the podcast for myself. I love working. I love what I do, and I love being a teacher and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I like being here. And when the day before break is always, like, I don't get like depressed, but it's always like a sad thing for me because I know that I can go home and I can work, but odds are is that I'm just going to shut down and then be nothing.
I know. I make this long to-do list, and I honestly do none of it. I thrive when I'm the busiest, which is so strange, but I don't know. It works.
Yeah. Well, I think that really helps you kind of do what you do. And it really helps give that energy that you feel. Because the one thing I get, you know, when I'm watching your stories on Instagram or the lessons you do is that you are really giving them all of this energy to kind of latch onto. Do you find it hard to show up like that? Or is that really your natural state?
A little bit of both. I'm naturally a positive person, but honestly, I feel like we as teachers are actors and actresses. And even when I've had a super bad day, I have to come in the morning and I have to be like, good morning, class! Can be overdramatic, and sometimes they just stare at me, but you know, that's just who I am. And I always think to myself, if I am bored teaching the lesson or if I'm bored listening to someone else speak or listening to myself speak, I can imagine how bored my kids are. So you have to be overdramatic. You have to be exciting, engaging. You know, we've all had the teachers who are, I don't know what I'm trying to say, are
less than excited. I would say.
Mm-hmm. So I just try and come in every day positive, happy, excited. You know, I have music blasting in my room constantly every single morning because the kids always come in and are like dead and tired and trying to go to sleep. And I'm like, no, 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 we've got to wake up. Let's play some pump up songs. You know, we're going to get this day rolling.
Yeah, I always, what's funny is music, I really incorporated music a lot into my room this year. And it was after I went to the Ron Clark Academy over the summer. And have you been?
I haven't. I'm dying.
Oh, my God. You know what? I talk about it. I know. And I had my first connection on the podcast with Adam DeVico, right? But he going there, and I can't believe you haven't gone. You have to go this summer.
I know.
They were like, you know, that energy level. And, I had the energy, but I didn't – it wasn't like the next level. So this year, you know, I got all the lights and I had the music blaring. So – but it is, it's amazingly different. Like I see kids walking through the hallway, like kids try to get into my room. Right. And they know, like I'm a pre-AP teacher. I'm also known as kind of like the disciplinarian teacher because we hold my kids to a really high level of what they should and should not be doing. And still they're like trying to like bust into my room because I have the lights and the music and stuff.
Uh-huh. And that's what you want as a teacher. You want the kids wanting to come to your class, wanting to come back to your class the next day. So that's amazing.
Yeah, well, that I'm going to ask you about this because I feel like that's made all the difference in terms of what I get out of my students is, you know, I've always had a good way with the kids, but it's this year I really saw the difference when I upped my game of how much energy I was given and how much I made them want to be here. So for you, do you like at what point did you start that? Like, did you just start out like that as a teacher or when did you start fading into that?
I would say, I mean, my first year, I was obviously super nervous and you don't want the other teachers thinking that you're this crazy young person, you know? So I kind of eased my way in, especially to the music thing, because people are very apprehensive about that at first. So then last year was kind of the first year that I was energized and excited. I mean, I was my first year, but last year was I really started to up it. And this year I've just embraced myself and have gone, you know, been dramatic in my classroom and just sarcasm and humor to my advantage. And the kids give it right back. And that's what I love because when I'm engaged, they're engaged too.
Some of my favorite moments this year have been when, you know, I put it on, like my music is like whatever's on Pandora pretty much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I put on the, and slowly weed out the songs that sneak in there, even when it's on the edited versions, you know.
I know what you mean.
But, you know, when one comes on, you know, like there will be just kids will start dancing. And I'm like, all right, I guess we're going to have a dance party for about 3 minutes because, you know, I'm not going to stop you. I mean, if you're dancing in my room, then I've already got like half the battle, right?
I know. See, you just have to embrace that. And I feel like so many times teachers are so afraid to play music because they're afraid that the kids are just going to get too excited and they don't know how to handle it. But it's got to be a part of your classroom environment, I feel so.
Yeah, especially if you got squirrely kids. Like I've always thought, and I'm so guilty of this. I was guilty of this week actually, where like I took a kid who was, you know, he was struggling at something, and then I gave him the one thing he didn't need, which was like more non-movement and less engagement. Mm-hmm. Right? I was like, here, do this. And I was like, you know, and really we should always like go the other way, right? The kids who are constantly moving and like, oh, sit down, we need to sit down, are the kids that you need to be like engaging with movement and stuff like that. Do you have, with your stuff, and we're going to get into some of your lesson or like the way you design and think about lessons here in a second, but when you are, do you find that your kids do a lot more successful when you're giving them these, this ability to kind of move around your room, whether it be for a simple experiment or whatever you're doing that day?
100%. And I'm the type of teacher, so I have desks in the center of my room, and then I have lab tables on the outside, and I'm the type of person that I do not care if you are sitting in your desk or if you're standing at your assigned lab table, as long as you are on task, you can be at either place. You know, some kids like to be standing. They like to be up moving. Some kids like to be sitting in their desks. They thrive off of the labs or they thrive off of stations where they get to move. And I could not imagine sitting in a classroom for 47 minutes straight or sitting all day long. I don't know how we did it. So I kind of think about that, and at least once during the 47 minutes, I have to get my kids up and moving.
Have you ever done the experiment where you follow a kid around all day just to see what it's like to be a student?
No, but that is an amazing idea, and I totally should.
Oh, yeah. I had my first year, my principal had us do that. She picked a kid, and we followed them around, and they thought they were in trouble, but they really weren't. We were just, you know, we were just following and seeing what it was like, uh-huh. And oh my, I was super bored by the end of it. And I was trying to be engaged, and, you know, I was trying to watch the teachers and just see what they were like, but it's amazing how different it really is. And imagine, like, they're coming from a world where, like, they're, like, we didn't have the technology that they have, and they're always engaged with that, and they have that constant mm-hmm. stimulus. And to say, hey, we're going to not only try to rob you of that, but now you're going to have to sit for 8 hours and do content.
I know. I say that all the time. Like, when they go home, think of how many things that they are doing. They're playing video games. They have their phone next to them. They're Snapchatting. They're listening to music. A TV's on. So many things are happening, and they come to school, and like you just said, they have none of that. So that's one of the reasons that I started playing music, because I know when they're at home, they're constantly listening to music when they're working. So why not do it at school?
Yeah, that you know, that's my students. Like, a lot of them have been like, "Oh, I love your class because we get to listen to music." Because I used to like always had their earbuds. I was like, "Y'all can," you know, it didn't bother me.
I agree. We actually, our kids are not allowed to have cell phones. This is the first year for that.
Oh man, how's that been going?
It has been amazing as a teacher.
Oh, really?
Last year we had so many battles with our cell phones, just kids recording each other, Snapchatting each other. It was a huge issue. So our district actually decided to take them away, and it has been amazing. We've had no phone issues the whole year on our team.
See, maybe that's the answer then. It's like, it's either if they're there, then find a way to compromise or to use them, or just mm-hmm. if it's not there, then that's apparently a good choice too.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So let's go ahead and jump to kind of how you think about how you incorporate these experiences. And I say experiences because from what I've seen, especially during this like Newton's law unit that you're kind of going through, right? Is you are using, you know, there's a lot of movement. And one of the videos that you recorded, like you said, you know, if I just tell them the law, it's going to float out of their brain, but they need to experience it. So when you are thinking of your lessons and you're sitting there looking at your blank lesson plans or whatever you're looking at, how do you go about making sure that you have not only movement or stuff like that, but you have this engagement? Like, what's your thought process?
Yeah. So first I have to say that the other two science teachers that I work with constantly, they're amazing. And we are all like-minded in that we have to have some sort of movement and engagement. So first of all, I'm lucky to work with amazing people. But I feel like the past couple years, we've really started to focus on not telling the students things directly and having them figure it out on their own. So that's what we did with Newton's laws. So we just went to Pinterest, or we went to Google and searched for blogs about activities for each one of Newton's laws. So we had them do these activities, and they were all movement activities. And then we had them come back inside or come back together as a group, and they all had to come up with what they thought the lab was about. And it's so much more meaningful. And I was shocked at their answers because they were so close. Now, they didn't have it word for word, but their ideas were so amazing and incredible. And I was blown away by their work. And that is so much more meaningful than me just saying, Newton's first law is this, Newton's second law is this, write these in your notebook, and then you're going to forget about them next week. So that has been a huge mind shift, and our district has really pushed that more towards student exploration than rather us just telling them straightforward.
I think that's a higher level skill too, is to say, hey, here's this. Now mm-hmm. tell me what this is, right? Tell me why this is going on.
It's really a mind shift for us teachers, because I know my first year we would tell them the law, or we would tell them a definition in science, and then we would have them go do a lab about it. But what's the point in that? Because they already know what's going to happen. Obviously, sometimes we still do that, but it's definitely been a huge mind shift for us as well.
I was just talking to my academic coach about this too, of how we spend, because we've moved away from direct teaching already, kind of as a district and for the way we operate, and for pre-AP specifically, we've moved into, you know, what we call PBL, which is basically project based learning, problem based learning, which has been super fun, and it's pushing our pre-AP kids to a lot of places that they never went before. But we were talking today really about giving them a question, and then, you know, here's your tools, figure it out, right? Like saying this is, and not telling them that what it's related to, right? In English, not saying that it's about inferencing, and science, not saying it's about these laws or whatever. Is that kind of the way you guys are operating?
Yes, 1,000%. And the students really struggle with it at first, the first time we do it, because they just want it fast. They want the answer within 5 seconds, and they hate that it's a struggle and they hate trying. So that it's been a mind shift for them as well, because they know now that I'm not going to give them the answer, that they have to come up with it on their own. They have to talk with their group, then they meet with other groups. And so, but I've loved it. It's been a hard shift, but it's definitely been for the best.
Why do you think teachers struggle with this concept as when they're going into it? What about it really like is hard for a teacher brain to kind of comprehend, just to like step back and let their students struggle?
We like control as teachers, especially me, you know, like I like having control. I like knowing where the conversation's going to go. And so that part has been hard for me too, because they come up with questions, or even one thing I struggled with the first couple years of teaching is the kids would ask me a question or they would say something and I wouldn't know the answer to it. You know, we're not perfect. We don't know all the science answers. So that was hard too. And I would just be honest with them and be like, you know what? I don't know. Let's look it up, or look it up tonight and tell the class tomorrow. So that's a big mind shift for teachers too.
Just stepping back. Yeah, I'm a performer at heart. Like I, you know, I grew up performing, you know, I like being in the limelight. I'm an introvert in terms of everything else, but if there's people around, I kind of want to be there, you know, and that's a perfect thing for a teacher in a lot of ways, but in some ways it's not, because over the years, I've realized that I can really get in the way of my students learning by constantly trying to be at the center of things.
Right.
Especially if you're trying to cater to, you know, 25, 30 kids. There's no way you can be everywhere at once. And if they're only learning when you're with them, then there's going to be a lot of not learning going on.
Right. And one of my goals as well is to have them be talking more than I am. You know, just like getting away from that direct teaching. I want my students engaged in conversations with their peers or with their group mates more than I am up in front of the class talking.
So one of the things that I've struggled with is when I'm looking at a lesson, sometimes it's really hard for me to gauge how much time they're going to need to do a particular activity. And I've talked to my science teachers here. They're like, that's literally the bane of our existence, especially with like experiments and stuff. So when you are you, is it really like a touch and go thing with you, or how do you figure that out ahead of time?
It is so, so difficult. And I came from where I was growing up. We had 80-minute class periods, and at my school right now that I teach at, we only have 47 minutes. And actually, it's so funny that you say this, because on my evaluation every single year, the one thing that my principal says is that I talk too fast. And I'm like, listen, you don't know what we have to get through in 47 minutes. I have to talk fast. It's one of the biggest difficulties being a science teacher, but you always have to have stuff in the back of your pocket. If it goes short, which it hardly ever does, you know, over half the time, the kids are running out the door and I'm shouting out them, you know, don't forget to do this tonight, or blah, blah, blah. But it's very hard, very difficult. And I always tell my first science class that they're my guinea pigs. If something goes wrong, or if the time didn't work out, if we didn't finish anything, and then I learn as I go throughout the day. So that helps. And, you know, just the more you teach, the longer you teach as well. So I'll write notes to myself. Like my first year of teaching, I'll be like, this lesson needs to be spread out in 2 days. And so then when we're planning, we have these notes left. And so that's nice as well. But if we're doing a new lab, we just kind of go with the flow and see where it goes.
How much control do you guys have over your lessons over there? Is it a fairly open curriculum? Meaning there's, you know, you have your standards and then you decide how to teach it, or is it more on the strict side or the loose side for you guys?
It's definitely on the loose side. So we have like a curriculum map and we have targets that we have to hit. And as a district, we have big projects that everyone in sixth grade science does, so that all the sixth grade students in our district are doing pretty much the same things. But within our units, we pretty much have free range. As long as we hit our targets, we can do what we want. And that's very nice. But actually, you brought this up. Next year, we are completely changing our curriculum. And honestly, I'm super nervous. So right now, I teach all physical science. And next year, we're going to a little bit of each. So I'll have a little bit of life, a little bit of earth, a little bit of physical. And it's a curriculum that our district is purchasing. So we're going from here are the targets, you can kind of do what you want, make your lessons as you want, to here's this curriculum that we are now using. So that's going to be very hard for me. I'm excited to try something new, but nervous as well.
Yeah, we have new standards coming down too. I get a little boon for me because they invited me to be on the pre-AP curriculum team. So I get to go and kind of help put a scope and sequence together. And I get to, get to be on the inside before they force it on us. But English is a little different though. I mean, there's only like you're getting really thrown into a couple areas they haven't taught yet. I guess, is that what it sounds like? So you're
I'm nervous about. Yeah. I finally feel like I know the ins and outs of all of my curriculum. You know, I know what the kids are going to struggle with. I know the questions that they're going to ask. And then I'm just getting thrown a whole new curriculum. And it's fine. Like, it's good as a teacher, but I'm super nervous.
How do you guys go about planning together? I feel like planning is like the thing. You know, certain teams are really great about it because they're just really cohesive. Like the two girls across from me, they are literally like sisters. So they, you know, they think the same. They're constantly throwing ideas at each other. They kind of, the way they run their classrooms is similar in a lot of ways. And then I'm kind of like, I'm across, I have a different kids than they do. You know, I have pre-AP and they have on level, but we plan together, but we also don't. And we're also competitive and we're also not. So we, you know, it's just a weird planning environment. But what's your team like? Do you guys have a really cohesive thing, or are y'all separate islands in some ways?
Oh no. So we are interested. So when I say my team, I'm talking about the other teachers that teach the same kids as I do. So the social studies, the math teacher on my team. But Craig and Kayla, who you may have seen on my Instagram a couple times, they're the other two sixth grade science teachers. So we meet at least twice a week and plan our lessons for the week. And we are kind of different than anyone else, where we do the exact same thing on the exact same days, which is awesome. Because if my student goes out in the hall and talks about this awesome science experiment that we did, then every other student gets to talk about that as well. Because that can be hard. Like if Craig does something super cool that I didn't know about, and then his kids go out in the hall and talk about it, you know, my kids are like, oh man, like, why aren't we doing that in science? So we are really all together. We're cohesive. We're like-minded. They're amazing. It's awesome. I'm very lucky.
Yeah. Good teams they're hard to come by, but it's great when you have them, because it really does make a difference, right?
It does. It does.
One of the best thing I love about our team here is that I like the competitiveness that Bannister and I, she's going to listen to this podcast, but she's definitely going to listen to this episode. She's going to hear me say this, but the competition that her and I have, like, you know, we'll be like, cause we're literally right across from the hall to each other. So we have our music blare and we're both dancing in the hallway. God. I mean, we're getting down. And
that is literally Craig and I, our rooms are attached. Like, number one, our rooms are right next to each other. Number two, our rooms are attached by a storage closet. So, I mean, like I said, we teach the same thing on the same day. So if it's quiet in my class and I'm talking, and it's quiet in his class and he's talking, then I know exactly where he's at with the lesson. And I will yell like, Mr. Pond, be quiet. Or in the mornings, we'll try and see whose music is the loudest, just like you guys. And it's funny. It's a good, friendly competition.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's gotta be the friendly kind. You know,
the kids enjoy it too. They think it's hilarious.
Yeah. Okay. So I gotta tell this story. So Bannister and I, last year, we were doing a poetry unit, and we thought it would have been a great idea, and this turns out not to be a great idea. But we thought it would have been a great idea to practice doing slam poetry on each other, right? And she like made this poster or something. I think that's what it was. And she put it like on my door, and it was like a slam poem about me. Right. And then I responded to it. But what ended up happening is our kids were super engaged, but they like took it to the next level, and we're like, oh, okay. So we're going to have to just dim this down a little bit.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. So, you know, competition's great, but sometimes, and the kid engagement's great, but it it can lead to some interesting ideas. So, okay, let's jump to the thing that I get emailed about the most from the audience that listen to this, because we have so many people from so many different countries and educational backgrounds that are in education, which is amazing. But one of the biggest questions I always get is they're asking about classroom management, or they're asking about how to engage a kid in a certain activity and stuff like that. It always comes down to engagement, right? I always put classroom management in that box because that, to me, that is the answer to classroom management in a lot of ways, is that engagement piece. For you, do you see it that way, first of all? So let's start there. Do you see the engagement directly correlated to your classroom management?
I do, and I honestly think without good classroom management, it's hard to do some of these engaging activities in labs. You know, like at the beginning of the year, we really have to train our kids on group work and discussing in class, and it is honestly mass chaos at first when we do our first lab, because sixth grade is the entry grade into our school, and science is usually cut out in elementary school. That's just how it is. They focus on ELA and math. And so this is their first time that they're doing science. It's their first time that they're working in groups. So we definitely have to get that classroom management piece down before we can do a lot of the engagement and super exciting activities.
All right, everyone, that is it with Josie Binsko, otherwise known as Maniacs in the Middle, over there on Instagram. Go give her a follow if you have not already. You are absolutely going to love her stuff that she puts on there. You're going to love her stories, all the creative stuff that she's doing, everything we talked about on the podcast, everything we're going to be talking about on part two next Monday. So stick around. Do not miss that. I absolutely loved talking to Miss Binsko. I think she's a fantastic educator. I think her mind, her ideas, and her energy and pumped level. It's just impossible not to get pumped when you are watching what she's doing or listening to her talk on this episode or following all the fun lessons that she's putting out there. She is a treasure for the teacher world. Follow her if you are not. With that said, go ahead and follow me on Instagram. That is part of the new focus. We did Facebook for a long time, and Facebook is going strong. Over 31,000 people of you have went over there and liked that page. I love you guys for that. But if you're more of an Instagram person, I am over there. I'm interacting. I'm making stories. I'm showing parts of my classroom. It's a little bit more of a personal look at me, but it is still part of the Teach Me Teacher brand. So if you want more, if you want to follow me, if you want to see some of the ideas, see some of the things, the teasers that I'm putting out there for the podcast, feel free to go follow me at Teach Me Teacher Host. If you forget that or whatever comes up, you can just go to teachmeteacherpodcast.com, where it has the link, the Instagram link right at the top of the page for you, as well as our Twitter and Facebook page. If you like this episode, go on iTunes, leave us a star review, and if you're feeling extra generous, go ahead and write us a brief review about why you like the show. I love seeing these because it allows me to see what the major fans want more of the podcast, but it also allows other educators to find us. So if you feel like this show is doing a service to educators, please let them know. Share the episode. Do that on iTunes. Much love, always. For everything else, ladies and gentlemen, and as always, have a good one.